Today's shir is Masechta Metzia Daf Lamed Daled, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Maskuf La Rav and Bachama. To review what we learned in the Mishnah and the Gemara in the previous shir, we had learned in the Mishnah that if someone left an item with a shomer, and the item, we'll use the example of a shomer chinam, and the item was stolen or lost, that the halacha that the Torah tells us is that the shomer chinam should make a shvuah that he did not misappropriate this item, he wasn't negligent, and he doesn't have to pay. The shomer, instead of doing that, decided to pay, even though he didn't really have to pay, and the halacha then teaches us, the Mishnah is, that if the ganif is ultimately caught, he pays kefil. If it's an animal that he did tficha mechira, he would pay dalet vehei, and that payment goes to the shomer. The Gemara explained that it is understood that the owner of the item, in gratitude to the shomer for being a shomer for his item and paying when he didn't have to pay, gives over the right of the kefil to the shomer. As we begin our shir today, Baruch Hashem, the question that comes up is based on a concept that we have discussed previously, and that is the concept known of Ein Adam Makna Davar Shelo Bil'olam. One cannot affect the sale for something that doesn't exist in the world. Machlokes as to why Ein Adam Makna Davar Shelo Bil'olam. Some of us explain because the fundamental concept of any kinyan is that the buyer and seller have smichas das, they have gemiras das, they have full intent to carry out this deal. But if the item that they're negotiating over doesn't exist, so you can't really have smichas das and gemiras das, and that's why they will agree that that's why the kinyan is not a valid kinyan. Another pshat that the mefarshim suggest is that this is a halacha in kinyanim, as we have El Mitzvashem, will learn many different rules regarding kinyanim. Another rule that applies to Hilchos kinyanim is that the item has to be in existence for a kinyan to be valid. And if the item isn't in existence, it can't be a valid kinyan. Actually, this question is a question that we've discussed previously, actually already comes at the beginning of the Torah. We find that Esav sold Yaakov the Bechira. And the Mefarshim ask, how could have that sale been a valid sale? Ain't other matna, Davar Shelo Bil'olam. So how could have that sale taken place? So some Rishonim suggest that since the Mechira was before Brias, before Kabbalah's Torah, so the din of Ein Adam Makna Davar Shelo Bil'olam did not apply yet. However, the Rivash suggests that the reason is because, as the Torah says, that there was a Shvuah. And since there was a Shvuah involved, then the rule of Ein Adam Makna Davar Shelo Bil'olam doesn't apply. And there's a machlokes between the Mefarshim on how to understand what does it mean that since there was a Shvuah, the rule of Ein Adam Makna Davar Shelo Bil'olam doesn't apply. Some suggest that if there was a Shvuah with the Kinyan, then that the rule of Ein Adam Makna Davar Shelo Bil'olam doesn't apply. Others suggest the fact that there was a shvuah doesn't change the rule of Ein Adam Makna Davar Shelo Bil'olam. Rather, the shvuah represents a deal on its own. Two people, if one makes a shvuah to each other, they have an obligation to fulfill the shvuah. But it doesn't impact the halacha of Ein Adam Makna Davar Shelo Bil'olam. And I was thinking actually that perhaps this question, if somebody makes a kinyan on a davish shlabel ha'olam with a shvua, the halacha changes, can be perhaps connected to the machlokes that we just quoted. According to the pshat, that the problem is that there is no smicha stas on a davish shlabel ha'olam, could be that if there's a shvua involved, that does represent, that does show a smicha stas, even though it's a davish shlabel ha'olam. But according to the opinion that a kinyan can't be effective on something that's lo ba'ala oilam, so a shvua won't change that. It must be the kinyan is not a kinyan. There is just a separate concept of a shvua. So I saw that Rav Shlomo Kluger explains, according to this new explanation, that when two people make a shvua to each other, even if the kinyan is not valid because it's a davish shlabel oilam, the shvua remains. One of the halachas of a shvua is that if two people make shvuas to each other, the shvua is only valid as long as both people are alive. If one of them should die, the shvua expires. So he says, with this we can understand what it says in the Torah. The Torah says that when Yaakov was going to meet Esav, the pasuk says, V'yirem v'yetze ma'od. And Rashi says, V'yirem, he was concerned, Shlo Yaharad, that he shouldn't kill the Yetzar, Shlo Yaharad, that he shouldn't be killed. So the Farshim asked, that Yaakov Avinu was upset that he shouldn't get killed, we could understand, nobody wants to get killed. But if Esav is coming to attack Yaakov, and Yaakov in self-defense will kill Esav, why should he be so upset? Answer the Mepharshim, now we could understand. Yaakov Avinu wanted this shvua that we just discussed to remain in effect. And the shvua can only remain in effect if both parties, Yaakov and Esav, are alive. That's why Yaakov was worried that he shouldn't kill Esav, because if he's going to kill Esav, that will represent the expiration of the shvua. So ask Al Gemara, if we just established that ain't other makna dovish lo b'loilam, so how, at the point where the shomer pays, as we said, instead of swearing for the object that he was watching, does he become the owner of the kefil? The kefil is a dovish lo b'loilam. Mask of the Rav Bechama for an other makna dovish lo b'loilam. There's a machlokes rishonim on who the word, how to understand the word maskev. Maskif. Rashi understands that the Gemara is asking a question on the din of the Mishnah. However, many Rishonim disagree, because they say that the word maskif cannot be used to ask a question on the Mishnah. Maskif is used to ask a question from one Amira to another Amira on a statement that he made. And they therefore explain the question of the Gemara with Tva, explain the Gemara's question like this. They say, we just finished learning in the previous piece of the Gemara that the Gemara said that one person is the reason the owner gives up the kefil is because in gratitude to the shomer, not to understand the Mishnah, says the Gemara, that it's some sort of a rule that Chazal established. Rather, and we'll discuss this a little more soon, we understand it as a person doing this from his own free will, in gratitude, ask the Gemara, how could this be a halachically accepted practice? And other makna davar shelo b'loilam. And says the Gemara, fil Ramei v'amar, even Ramei was of the opinion that other makna davar shelo b'loilam, that a person has the ability to do that. And this is Ramei's opinion that we find many places in Shas, particularly in Masechet Kedushin, that Samach Gimel Omer Aleph, where the Gemara discusses, where, let's say, the example that we'll work with is, let's say someone who's non-Jewish approaches a Jewish woman and says to her, Hare at Mekudeshet Li, our kedushin should be valid la'achas she'es gair, after becoming ger. So even though right now he's a goy who cannot make a kedushin, Rameyah says the kedushin is a valid kedushin because other makna davar shelo bala olam. Says the Gemara, Hani Mili, when can one do so? By Peres Dekel. When one can sell fruits of a tree that didn't yet grow. David did also. But they're likely to come. So as the Rishonim explained, in a situation like selling the fruits of a tree that haven't yet emerged, it could well be that even the Chachamim will agree that the Kinyan is a valid Kinyan. Because even though the fruit isn't yet here, the tree is here. Furthermore, their fruit is likely to come, and therefore it's not considered a davar shelo b'olam. Remeir is even more lenient, and he holds that in a situation that we just described, the person is still a goy, but he says, when I become a ger, the kedushin should be valid. We can also understand why the kedushin is a valid kedushin, since it's in his power to convert and become a Jew. Aval Hacha, but in our Gemara's case, where the owner makes this stipulation with the Shomer, so there are a number of sfeikas, there are a number of questions. Number one, Miyamid the Migneva, who says that this item will be stolen? Vimtim Tzulamid the Migneva, and even if the item will be stolen, Miyamid the Mishtakech Ganef, who says that the Ganef will be caught? Vimishtakech Ganef, and even if the Ganef will be caught, Miyamid the Mishalim, who says that he's going to pay? Who says that he'll ever have to pay Kefil? Dilma Moido Mifter, as we know the halacha is, the Moido Beknas, that if somebody did an aver for which there is a payment of a knas or mifter, and he's moida before Edim testified that he did this aver, he's potter. So maybe the ganef will testify before Edim come and say testimony against him. And in fact, Tosfos says that this brisa, this gemara, may in fact be a raya to a machloikus that we had of Rav and Shmuel. What is the halacha of moida b'knas v'achkach bar edim? The Rav's opinion is that moida b'knas v'achkach bar edim is potter. Shmuel's opinion is that moida b'knas v'achkach bar edim is chayiv. And our Gemara seems to be holding that moida b'knas v'achkach bar edim is potter. So our Gemara's question is, you have all these sveikas, and as the Rishonim point out, Remeir, when you have three sveikas, as our Gemara just identified, will agree that we don't say the makna davar shelo b'olam. So how is the kinyan? How could the owner be makna the kefil? Amar Rava, answers Rava, the way to understand our Mishnah is nasik oimaloi. We understand it's if at the moment the owner gave over the item to the shomer to watch, he said to him, if the item will be stolen and you will agree to pay me, this animal should be yours from the moment, from this moment, the kinyan should be there from the first moment. And the Mefarshim debate, what are the mechanics of this kinyan? Many Mefarshim seem to learn that it's an umdana, that we assume that every owner is prepared to make this arrangement with the Shomer, that if you'll step up to the plate and pay instead of swearing, you'll become the owner of the kefil. Even though, as the Mefarshim ask, the owner didn't say it. Not only didn't the owner say it, it's highly unlikely that the owner even thought about it. Did the owner think all of this as he's asking his Shomer to watch the item? Says the Nesivus, he helps us understand what is pshat in an umdana. He says the pshat of an umdana doesn't mean that we're sure that that was in the mind of a person. Rather, he says the pshat of an umdana is that we're sure that had we asked this owner, is this something that you're agreeable to do? Is this something that you would have been agreeable to do? He would say, absolutely. That already puts it into the category of an umdana. Other Rishonim explain our Gemara that since we are sure that this is something that any owner would be willing, an arrangement that any owner would be willing to make, so then we have a Lev Bezdin Masna that this is what should happen and that the Kefil should go to the Shomer. Ask the Gemara if it means that he becomes the owner from the first moment. Maskalar of Zera, Ihachi, Afil Gzosev, the Sanami, anything that the babies or the wool that grew from the sheep, from the moment that it was given over to the Shomer, should become the Shomer's. Alamatanya, Chutzmi Gzosev, they don't become the Shomer's. Ela Amr of Zera. The way to understand it is, because Nasa Ka'imaloi, we understood that even though the owner is making this arrangement with the Shomer, he's saying chutzmik is a seva de sehel, that the gizasevel of the sehel that come should not be yours. Ask the Gemara, my Pascha, why does he differentiate between the kefil which he's willing to give to the Shomer versus the gizasevel of the sehel which he's not willing to give over to the Shomer? Answers the Gemara, stam de milsa shivcha de asma malma, something that comes from external sources, kefil of it in Shida Makni, a person is willing to convey, and that's why the willing owner was willing to give over the kefil. However, shivcha de magufa, something that's internally generated, like the wool and the babies, lo yevad in Shida Makni, he doesn't give away. However, the Rishonim make a number of observations. One, they say, is that when we're saying that the Gizasev of the Sehel don't become the Shomers, those we're only referring to the Gizasev of the Sehel that came about before the moment of Geneva. But what came after the Geneva, that will become the Shomers. Furthermore, the Rishonim discuss what happens if the animal went up in value. How do we view the animal going up in value? Do we consider that to be the Shomers or the owners? So it's actually a machlokes. Many Rishonim say that it's generated by the animal itself, and therefore it's considered the same as Gizasev or the Sahel. Others explain that it's considered an external benefit, because the reason the animal goes up in value is because the market price drove it up. And since the market price drove it up, that's why it's considered like the same as kefil, the shvach haba ma'olam. The Mefarshim ask, if we're saying now that the owner keeps the gizaseh v'vladaseh of the animal, certainly as we said, or the gizaseh v'vladaseh till the moment of Geneva, so then why do we say that when the animal is returned, the entire kefil should be given to the Shomer? The owner still has a share in this animal. The gizaseh and vladaseh are his. So I saw two answers to this question. One answer is that even though, as the Gemara is teaching us, the owner retains the right to the gizaseh and vladaseh, he does give up the rights to the kefil of the gizaseh and vladaseh. And another pshat, maybe a simpler pshat, is that the kefil is not really paid for the gizaseh v'ladaseh. It's the animal that was stolen that requires the kefil be paid. And the animal, as we said, is now the shomers and not the owners. Ikadamri, but there's a different version of understanding the din of the Mishnah. Amarava, Nasak Aimalai, there's an understanding between the owner and the Shomer. Lichisha Tiganev, if this item will be stolen, Vitirtsvatishlameni, and you will be agreeable to pay me, instead of swearing and exempting yourself from payment, Samach Lganavasa Knuyalach, a moment before the Geneva, it should become yours. Which the Mefarshim ask, isn't this a situation of Breira, of Huvra Hadovala Mafreya, retroactively? And we don't hold of Reira. So the Mefarshim explain that that this is not to be viewed as Breira, but rather it's to be viewed as a Tanai. This, and everybody has a right to make a stipulation, particularly, say the Mefarshim, since he's identifying a specific moment. The owner is identifying a specific moment when he wants this kinyan to be effective, a moment before the Geneva. Other Rishonim explain that again we apply the concept of Lei Bezdin Masna, and since it's going with a lumdus of Lei Bezdin Masna, it has nothing to do with Breira. Ask the Ramai Benayu, what is the difference between the two explanations we just gave in the din of the Mishnah? Ikbenayu Kush Reb Zeira. The actual kasha between the Reb Zeira asked, who is the owner of the gizasevel of the cell? According to the second pshat, there is no problem with the gizasevel of the cell. From the moment of the geneva, they belong to the shomer, because then the whole animal is his. Until that moment, the animal and its gizasevel of the cell belong to the owner. Ma'ashenken, according to the first pshat, as we explained earlier, we had a problem with the Gezaseh and the Vladaseh. Although, some Rishonim say, the fact that we see that there was a Braisa that had to speak about Gezaseh and Vladaseh seems to indicate that the first Pshat is the right Pshat. Because if there was no concern about Gizasel and Vladis, if the ownership is only Samach L'Gneva, so obviously the Gizasel and Vladisel belong to the owner until that moment. Ritva says the way to understand the Braisa according to the second Pshat is that this is the way the Braisa is expressing that the ownership is only transferred a moment before the Gneva. Inami, another nafkamina is the kaima ba'agam. We know that there has to be a kinyan. So let's say this animal wasn't in the shomer's rishus a moment before the geneva. There would be no way for the kinyan to be effective, because you don't have a kinyan chotzer, because it wasn't in his chotzer. And you wouldn't have a kinyan meshicha, because the meshicha that was done at the beginning when the shomer took it wasn't done for this purpose, and a meshicha that wasn't done for this purpose cannot retroactively become effective. So we learned in the Mishnah shilin v'leirotz l'shava, if the shomer paid and didn't want to swear, so then he gets the kefil. Says the Gemara, Omer b'chiba abba Omer b'yochran, lo shilim shilim amish. The Mishnah doesn't mean that he actually paid. Al kivin sh'omer reini mishalim. Once he agreed to pay, afal b'shlo shilim, even though he didn't pay, it's already considered his, and he gets the kefil. Ask the Gemara, Tanan, we just learned in the Mishnah, it says shilim v'loi rotz l'shava, that if the shomer paid, he didn't want to swear, then he gets the kefil. Doesn't the Mishnah mean to say shilem in only if he agreed to pay? Loi shilem, but if he didn't pay, loi. Aim a seifa. So the Gemara, the seifa could show us a different din. Because the seifa says nishba v'loi rotzal shalem, if the shomer swore and he didn't want to pay. So what do we see? Tama d'loi rotzal, because he refused to pay. Harotza, it seems to mean that the Mishnah is teaching us that as soon as he's willing to pay, avli shlo shilim, even though he didn't actually pay, he will already be entitled to the kefil. Says the Gemara, because our Mishnah could go either way, mahalach l'mishmana. From our Mishnah, we don't have a conclusive proof on how to understand what the din is. However, says the Gemara, Tanya kavosid Rabbi Yochanan, hasoich par machaveroi. If somebody rents a para for nigav and it was stolen, v'amar lo, and the renter said, "Hareini mishalim, I'll pay." Ve'ni nishba, and not swear. And then v'akach nimtza ganav, the halach is mishalim tashlumi kefil l'shalim soicher. Here we see that all he did was be willing to pay, didn't actually pay, and already the kefil becomes his. And as the mefarshim explain, why is the willingness to pay adequate? Shouldn't we require that he actually pays to be entitled to the kefil? Answer the mefarshim. What the owner is gratified to the shomer for is that he doesn't have to bother with a din Torah. That the shomer says, we won't have to go through a din Torah, we won't have to go through the whole hassle. The moment the shomer says that, that gratitude comes into play. And therefore, from that moment, he becomes the owner of the kefil. Particularly, and we'll say this vart in a moment again, since the halacha, according to some Rishonim, is that once the Shomer agrees to pay, he can't back out. So therefore, agreement to pay is enough to get him the kefil. Amar Papa, Shomer Chinam Kivin Shomer Pashati. A Shomer Chinam, once he says Pashati, Makdin Lake Fela. The halacha is he gets the kefil. Because, what is the explanation? The boy parted Nash B'Gneva. Had the Shomer wanted, he could have said that it was stolen, and he would be exempt. By volunteering that it was stolen, by volunteering that it was Pesheya, and he is now obligated to pay, he becomes the owner of the kefil. The Ritva says that we don't even need, our Gemara is teaching us that we don't need him to say Haredi Mishalim. All we need is him saying the word Pashati, because in the word Pashati is included that he has to, is obvious that he's going to have to pay. There is a question amongst the Rishonim that what will be the halacha if we're referring to a Shomer Chinam. We've identified such individuals previously who are not Nemon, who don't have the ability to make a shvuah. So if the Shomer doesn't have the option to say, I could have sworn and been exempt, and instead of swearing and being exempt, I'm going to pay you, therefore the kefil should become his. What would be the din when he doesn't have that option, because he can't make a shvuah? Does the din of the Mishnah apply or not? It's actually machloikis hachroinim. Similarly, says the Rapapa, Shomer Sachar, Kivin Shomer Nignava, the Shomer Sachar who says they were stolen, even though Shomer Sachar is chay for Geneva, Matnil Kfeil, he gets the kefil. Because since the Shomer Sachar, Iboy, Pata Navshei, Bishvura Mesa, he could have said there was an oinus here. And then he would be Potter by saying Geneva and obligating himself, he gets the kefil. Shayim Shoyel, on the other hand, Shayim Aradim Shalim, if the Shoyel agreed to pay, still, that doesn't get him rights to the kefil. Loi Makna Lake Fela. That doesn't get him the rights to the kefil. And explains the Gemara why. Because my Havalei Lemifta Navshei, what is the only claim that a Shoyel can make that would exempt him from payment? Meisa Machmas Malacha. And Meisa Machmas Malacha Loi Shchiach, that's not considered a valid claim because that normally doesn't happen. However, Ikadami, there's another version. Amra Papa, Shoyel Nami, by Shoyel also, Kivinch Amar Reini Mishalem, the moment that he agreed to pay, Makdin Lake Feli, he becomes entitled to the Kefil. The boy part of Navshei, because he could always have said, Meis Machmas Melacha, and not have to pay. Amle Rizvid, Hochem Rabaya, Abaya said the following psak, Shoyel Achi Shalem, a Shoyel is not exempt until he actually pays. My Tama, Hoyel V'kol HaNor Shaloi, since a Shoyel is the one in this arrangement between a borrower and a lender, it's the Shoyel who has all of the benefit, he's not giving anything, he's only getting. Therefore, B'dibura, by just agreeing to pay, even though we normally hold that the Shomer agreeing to pay entitles him to the kefil, a Shoyel is in a different status, because kol hanor shaloi, and therefore b'dibura lo makna lo kfeila. Says the Gemara, Tani kavas de Rav Zvid. There's actually a braisa that supports Rav Zvid's opinion. Hashal parom lechaveiroi, v'nignava, v'kidem hashoyel v'shileim, and the shoyel went and paid, and then chakach nimtza ganav, mishan tashlumei kefil shoyel. So he sees because he actually paid, that's when he gets the kefil. Just saying that he'll pay won't do it. Says the Gemara, Lishna Kamad Rapapa. According to the first version of Rapapa, where he said that a Shoyel cannot have had any claim. The price is not a question. Because even though Rapapa said a Shoyel doesn't get the kefil just because he made a verbal commitment to pay, the first Lashon Rapapa can agree that if the Shoyel actually paid, and then the Ganef shows up, he gets the Kefil. The Lishna Basra to Rapapa, however, according to the second Lashon, in which he says that just a verbal commitment gets him off the, gets him entitled to the kefil. This brisa seems to be a refutation, because this brisa says that the shaul is only entitled to the kefil when he pays, not when there's just a commitment. Is the brisa any more of a question or any more of a proof than the Mishnah, where the Mishnah used the word shilem? V'kimnen, we've explained that even though the Mishnah uses the word shilem, it means omar. It doesn't mean that he actually paid. It means that he committed to pay. Hachanami, we will explain the brisa to mean ba'omar. Not that he paid, but he actually only committed to pay. Ask the Gemara, midami, how can we compare the two situations? Hasam like tani, in the Mishnah doesn't say the word kidem. So he went ahead. Hachet says kidem, hachtanik tidem, which surely seems to indicate that he didn't just agree to pay, but he actually paid. Answers the Gemara, my kidem. What does the Brisa mean with the word kidem? Rapapa will tell us kidem omer. He went ahead and said that he'll pay. Ask the Gemara, hamidik tanik abas socher for omer socher. The Brisa that spoke about a socher committing to pay used the word omer. Beshoil, it says kidem. What's the difference between kidem and omer? Shmami not dafkik tani. That a soicher, it's enough that he should just commit to pay, and a shoil has to actually pay to be entitled to the kefil. Answer the Gemara. Midigabe adodi tanya. If these two brises, says the Gemara, were learned together, so the fact that the brisa uses different wording by the shoil and by the soicher clearly comes to teach us a difference in din. That by a shoyel you have to actually pay, and by a soicher you just need to commit to pay. But these two brises weren't taught together, suggests the Gemara, and therefore they don't have to follow the same type of terminology and wording, and what one has nothing to do with the other. Says the Gemara, Shalinu l'tana de Beir Abchir de Beir Abayisha. So they went and they asked the Tanoim of Abchir Abayisha, who were great experts in brises, Vamrein, they said Gaba Adodi Tanyan, that these two brises were taught together, and now that they were taught together, the fact that they use different words comes to teach us that there are different rules, and by a Shoicher or the other Shoimrim, a commitment to pay entitles them to kefil. However, a Shoil, a commitment alone, will not entitle them to kefil. He has to actually pay. Repapa Tosfos makes a nice, says a nice pshat. He says, according to the first version of Rav Papa and according to Rav Zvid, they both understand that a shoyel only is entitled to the kefil if he actually pays for the object. So he says, so Tosfos wants to understand what would be the nafkamina between Rav Papa and Rav Zvid lahalocha. So he says the following nafkamina. What would be the halacha if somebody lent an item to someone else, but at the moment that they made this arrangement, the lender told the borrower, I'm willing to lend it to you, that you shouldn't have the dinim of a shoyel, you should have the halachas of a shoy mechinam, of a shoy mesachar. So according to Rav Papa, since he has in the first version, since he has the halachas of a shoy mechinam and a shoy mesachar, so shoy mechinam and shoy mesachar, everybody agrees, it seems, then a commitment to pay is enough to entitle him to the kefil. But according to Rav Zvid, the reason that a shoyel has to pay to be entitled to the kefil, and without actual payment he's not entitled to the kefil, is because there's a special quality, a special characteristic to a shoyel of kol hano shaloi. So the fact that they agreed that he should have the dinim of a shoyel mechinim and shoyel mesachar doesn't change the reality of kol hano shaloi, and therefore until he actually pays he's not entitled to the kefil. Says the Gemara, pshita, it's obvious to the Gemara, omer eini mishalim. If the shoyel says I'm not going to pay, v'chaz v'omer eini mishalim, and then he says I'm going to pay, Hakamar Hareini Mishalim, we follow what his commitment to pay, and his commitment to pay entitles him to the kefil. However, says the Gemara, Elama Hareini Mishalim, let's say the shoyel, the the shomer said, I will pay. V'hadar amar, and then he says, Einim shalom, I'm not going to pay. My, how do we view the situation in terms of him being entitled to the kefil? Mi aminim, medekadabe, he retracted, and therefore, he no longer is entitled to the kefil. He really didn't retract. It's just for these words that he's saying are just a way to be able to push off the owner to, that he shouldn't have to pay him immediately. And as Tysus explains, halachically, and we made this point earlier, halachically, once he agreed to pay, he has to pay. The question here is, so what is the Gemara's question? If he has to pay, so shouldn't he be entitled to the kefil? The question is as follows. Do we say, since he knows that he's obligated to pay, and he's going to have to pay, so then he's entitled to the kefil? Or do we say, as we said from the beginning of this year, why does the owner give him the kefil, the rights to the kefil? Gratitude for not having to go through the entire, not having to have to go through the hassle, just be willing to pay. But now by him saying, Einim Shalom, he's not doing that. He is going to give, so to speak, the owner a hassle to get his money. And therefore, he doesn't give him the kefil. Another question. Omar, if he said, Hareini Mishalim, he agreed to pay the mess, and then he passed away. V'Omar Bonov and his children said, Einon Mishalim, we're refusing to pay. My, what would be the halacha now? Me and Rian, Madhukadrabe, do we say that they're rescinding their father's offer? They are certainly standing by the father's word. It's just, again, the tchuyei kamatchalei, they're just trying to push him off. The Mefarsh Tosfos asks, what kind of question is this? Don't we have a halacha of ein adam mayrish knas labonov? If somebody is entitled to a knas, that titlement cannot be given over, be Yerusha to his children. So what's their question if they're entitled to the kefil or not? So the Mefarshim, so Tosfos doesn't really answer. The Mefarshim answer that the din of ein adam mayrish knas labonov is maybe not in all situations. Maybe it's only in a situation where it's a knas that a father's entitled to because something happened to his daughter. That we learned that in certain circumstances, she's a ktana or a nara, the knas goes to the father. And that is aloha of ein adam mayrish knas labonov. But a knas that was entitled directly to the father, that maybe he is mayrish. Shilmu bonim. If the sons of the shomer did pay, mai, what would be the halacha? And here, Rashi explains that what happened was that the geneva took place while the father was still alive, and then the father, the shomer, passed away, and then the children paid, and the question is, are they entitled to the kefil? The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says that it's even referring to a situation where the geneva took place after the death of the shomer. My matzalamahu, can the owner tell the sons, ki aknoi kfeila, to whom did I give the kefil? Lavuan davarli naichanavshi. And as the Rishonim explain, the owner maybe could say, this kefil, this rights to kefil that I gave to your father is because of the relationship that existed between me and your father, the shomer. But it's not only because of the relationship that happened in this specific circumstance. It was a lifelong relationship that he was always nice to me, and in gratitude, and in this situation he was also nice, and therefore in gratitude I gave him the kefil. But I don't have that experience with you, even though I have it in this specific situation. I don't have a lifelong experience with you. Levuchen davli naich nafshi l'detchu, but to you, lo, I don't have this relationship. I dem alay shna. Another halacha, shileim lebonim. If the owner died, and the shomer paid to the sons of the owner. And here too, The Ravid says it's referring to a situation that the object was stolen before the owner died. Rashi disagrees, because Rashi says if the object was stolen before the owner died, then the Gemara would have no question. And therefore, Rashi says that it's referring to a situation where the object was stolen after the owner died. Mutz Amalei, can they tell the Shomer? Who was the father ready to give kefil to you? Avanan l'didonloi, but you, our father had a relationship with you, and that's why he was ready to give you the kefil. But we have no relationship to you, and therefore we have no point to give you the kefil. Shimul l'bonim l'bonim. Here we have that both of them died, the owner and the shomer. What will be the din? Or shile mechza, if the shomer was willing or actually paid for only half of the value of the stolen item, mai, well be the halachim. As the Rishonim explained, on one hand we could say, for whatever he paid, for whatever the shomer paid, he's entitled to the kefil. Or we could suggest, as we've been learning, that the only reason he's entitled to the kefil is because he's willing to, the owner is thankful that he doesn't have to go to Din Torah. But here he's going to have to go to Din Torah. Maybe not for the entire value of the object, but for half the value. Or, shol shtei paros. If somebody borrowed two cows, v'shilam achas mehen, and the shomer paid for one, mai, what will be halacha? Again, the same question. On one hand, for what he paid, he should get the kefil. Or, perhaps the owner could say, we're still going to end up in Din Torah, and therefore I'm not giving you the kefil. Shol min shutfim. If somebody borrowed cow from partners, the shilam le'echad mehen, and he paid one of them, mai. And the Rishonim explained the Gemara's question as follows. If we'll say that in the case that shilei mechza, the shomer doesn't get kefil, here certainly he won't get kefil. The question is, what will be the halacha if shilei mechza, you do get kefil? What will be the din when there were two separate shutfim? Because we look at each shutf as the owner, perhaps, of the entire item, and maybe he wasn't satisfied at all. Or shutfim shishalu, two partners borrowed an item, v'shilem echad, and one paid, mai. V'shilem echad, and one of them paid, and the other one didn't. What will be the halacha? And here, and the Rishonim asked that the Gemarist, that the Yishalmi says, that shutfim, as I said a moment ago, shutfim are considered shutfim an entire item. So how, so if they only paid half, shouldn't be this the same as paying half? So the Mefarshim explained, when we say shutfim are shutfim an entire item, it doesn't mean that they're complete shutfim in the entire item. But rather what it means is that they're responsible, they have an arvus, they're like guarantors, but each one is only a partner in half, an owner of half. Shalom and Isha. We know that there are nichsim alug. Nichsim alug are the properties that a woman brings into the marriage that the owner, the husband, eats the peiris, eats the benefit that comes from these items, and the actual item itself remains the wife. So ask the Gemara, Shalom and Isha, he borrowed it from a wife, v'shilam labala, but the shomer paid back to the husband, mai. So Rishonim ask, how could it be that he borrowed from the wife? He has no right to borrow from the wife. The nechsim alug, the peiros, belong to the husband. So some Rishonim say that's referring to a situation where the husband gave the wife rishus to lend out the nechsim alug, and therefore she didn't do anything wrong. Or others explain it's referring to a situation that she lent the item out before she got married, and then she got married, and the owner is paying the owner wants, and the shomer is paying the value to the husband. Or isha shishala, if a woman borrowed an object, v'shilem bala, and her husband paid, does the din that the kefil goes to the shomer play? Teku, all these questions are teku, and the Rishonim say that in all of the situations the halacha will be the mamon hamutl b'safik cholkim, they divided, the kefil is divided between the owner and the shomer. Amar Funa. We said that even though the shomer is willing to pay, we still make him make a shvua. Meshbin oisai shvua shena brishusai. He has to make a shvua that it's not, he doesn't really have it in his possession, and he's just willing to pay, and because he wants to keep the object. My tama chashina shema erev nosimba. And as the Rishonim explained, we've discussed this in Masechta Baba Kama, the avera of loisachmoid, the avera of people wanting to keep other people's items, is not an avera that people take very seriously. And therefore, this shomer thinks to himself, I'm paying for the item. The owner's not having any financial loss. But that's not true. You're supposed to give back the item. Ask the Gemara. Mal meisvei. Hamavas chaver al mashkin. If somebody lends somebody else money on collateral, vavar amashkin, and then the malva lost the mashkin, vamaloi, and the malva tells the loiva, selva halvisichala, I lent you a seller, shekel hayeshava. Every seller has 2 shekels and 4 dinarim. So the malva says, I lent you a seller, the mashkin was worth a shekel, so I taka lost the mashkin, so you owe me only a shekel. And the loiva says, loy ki el seller v'sani elof, you lent me a seller, but the mashkin was also worth a seller, potter. Then no shvua is required. Seller v'siach alach. Again, the mashkin was lost. The malva says, I lent you a seller, shekel ha'yeshava, and the mashkin was worth a sheva, shekel. And the loiva says, loy ki el seller v'sani elof, you lent me a seller, and shlosha dinar hayeshava. So they're arguing if he owes him 2 shekel, 2 dinarim, which is a shekel, or he owes him 1 dinar. So here, since he's a moida b'mixis, so he's chayiv to make a shvua. Another case. Seller hil v'sana yilav. The borrower says, you lent me a seller, beis hayeshava, which, and the mashkin was worth two seller. That means the mashkin was worth double the loan. And the loiva says, loy ki el seller v'sichala, I lent you a seller, and seller yeshava. So according to the malva, he owes him nothing. According to the loiva, he owes him a seller. Potter. He doesn't have to swear. Seller v'sani elach. Let's say where the loiva says, you lent me a seller. Shnaim ha-yeshava. And the mashkin, I say, was worth 2 slaim. And the malva says, loy ki el seller v'sichala, I lent you a seller. Hey, dinar ma'yeshava. So they're debating where the loiva says, you owe me a seller, and the malva says, I owe you a dinner. Chayiv. There it's a maid of a mixus, and a shvua is required. Asking marmi nishba, who's the one that has to swear? Misha b'kadin etzlai. The one that is holding on to the mashkin, because we are concerned, shemi yeshava zeh, maybe if the loiva, who isn't holding the mashkin, swears, then he'll swear, and then the malva will say, I fooled you, I have the mashkin, and he'll take out the mashkin, and I'll take out the pekadin, and it turned out that he swore falsely. That's how Rashi, and then he'll become a disqualified witness. That's how Rashi learns. So the Rishonim ask on Rashi, if he swore falsely, and he wasn't accurate in his shvur, he deserves to become a postulate. Why are we concerned about him? So therefore they explain, if we're going to make the loiva swear, and the malva really has the item, and therefore the loiva really didn't have to swear, it turns out we made the loiva make a shvur shav, and we want to avoid making shvur shav. Now ask the Gemara, which of the cases were we referring to when we said mi nishba? Ilema seifa, we're talking about the last case. Obviously, the malva is the one that has to swear. Typically, the shvur gaba malva he, because he's the one that's the maid of a mixes. And the halacha always is that the maid of a mixes is the one that has to swear.